Well, good evening. It's Monday night, and you know what that means if you are in the 802 Cup Series League or you're a listener to this podcast. It's time for the 802 Cup Series podcast. Right now, we're live on Twitch. Later, you can catch us on Spotify, Google, Amazon, Apple Podcasts, and by this time tomorrow, we will have the audio and the video up on YouTube. I'd like to say the 802 Cup Series podcast is part of the Sim Racing podcast, which is a podcast I do. Been doing for a couple of years now, just talking racing with whoever wants to talk racing. We've had NASCAR Truck Series tire changers on here. We've had a couple Xfinity drivers, a bunch of league owners, but most everybody is just regular Joes like us. The Joe Sixpack Racing team on 802 Cup Series, I'd like to thank our sponsor, Dirtbag Clothing. I love, love, love their motto, wear it till it stinks. So Dirtbag Clothing, distinct American clothing company, been around since 1986. So we have a special guest tonight who was on vacation a couple weeks ago. So I'm jealous of that because he was spending time on the beach while we were down here in the stuffy old man cave. I'd like to introduce from car driver number 48 for the Joe Sixpack Racing team in the 802 Cup Series, Dylan Dameron. Good evening, Dylan. How you doing? Oop, you still there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yep, and we got a little bit of audio thing here. So, you said you had some hot weather down where you are, just like us up here in the north, but you had a little worse, didn't you, as we were talking before we went on?
Yeah, it's been pretty bad. I don't know when it's going to cool off. I wish it hurry up and would, though.
Oh, tell me about it. Well, it's perfect weather textbook. As is up here, we're saying, we've had 95-degree temperatures, humidity, heat index 101, 102, which is normal for maybe 5 or 6 days out of the whole summer, but it was just extended for so long. It was like 10 out of the last 14. And like usual, or as the weather textbook says, July is the hottest month. It starts to cool off in August, and today was 75 and no humidity, which makes it a great time to talk about racing. So when did you start getting involved in racing, and who got you started on that?
Well, I've always been a big fan of racing as far as playing it on like Xbox, like NASCAR games, something like that. I've always loved it. But as far as like actually watching NASCAR, I actually got into it when COVID hit during this fourth round, so I kind of got bored. I ran the play watching NASCAR, and I actually did, and fell in love with watching NASCAR, so that's what got me watching NASCAR. But as far as iRacing, a buddy of mine that I grew up with actually sold his Xbox and got a PC and started doing iRacing. And he talked highly on it, and I was like, I'm going to have to get one. So I saved up, and that's what, got me really into iRacing was my buddy.
Is that George that we were racing with last night?
No, that's another buddy of mine.
Okay.
My buddy that got me into iRacing, he is not in 802, I don't think. If so, he just joined like a day or two ago because I sent him an invite the other day. I don't know if he's fully in or...
Oh, okay. Yeah, because the league admins, they checked the request to join. So, hint, hint, Rob Lowell, if you're listening or watching, if you usually are, go open up that league page and see if there's any invitations in the bag there, people that want to join. So, and when you started iRacing, what series did you do? Did you do road, oval, or dirt?
I did oval. So I actually joined the league for it. It was actually Gen 4s.
Oh, wow.
And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be honest, I got blown out of the water.
Oh, yeah, we all do when we first start.
Yeah, it was pretty bad, honestly. the guy was better than I was, honestly. I mean, they was. And they was a lot harder to control at first, so I actually took a step back and actually started they're doing like trucks and Cup Series more than Gen 4s, and I like them a lot better. So.
Yeah, Next Gen, when it first came out, that car was kind of like a stale donut. It was just too easy to drive, but they had to get, you know, like NASCAR, they had to get a season under their belt and made some changes, and now it's a lot of fun. So have you been out, or did you come on during COVID, or did you get involved in iRacing before COVID?
No, so I actually got involved in iRacing actually about 2 months ago, month and a half. I'm still new to this.
Wow, and you finished P10 last night on a pretty tough track, so kind of conquered that learning curve, it sounds like.
It's definitely a learning experience. I would like to say that I'm learning as I go, I guess, but I guess everybody does.
Yeah.
There's some tracks I like a lot more than others.
What's your favorite track so far?
So far, I think my favorite track is either Charlotte or Atlanta.
I like Charlotte mainly because that's where I started racing, on all the free tracks and such. And so it's not an easy track either. That can be tricky. So what do you like about Atlanta?
Atlanta, I feel like it's just a small speedway.
Yeah, that's true. Do you like do you like the new one? Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Do you like the new version of Atlanta or the old one?
I like both versions, but my favorite would probably be old Atlanta.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. We had that was a good race 2 weeks ago in Atlanta on that old track. Considering it's kind of mimics Kentucky, where you've got to be real careful coming out of 2 and 4, or else you're going to hit the outside wall or just a 90-degree turn right into the left-hand wall. So we had a few cautions in that, but it didn't seem like there were that many cautions last week in Atlanta, did it?
No, I don't think. I think about 3 or 4 that was pretty big ones.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah, but we managed towards the end there to put together some pretty good green lap runs, last night. Loser. We had, I think, 3 cautions in the first 20 laps, but once we got up to, like, lap 80, I think we went 30 or 40 laps without a caution.
Yeah, it was pretty green last night, honestly.
Yeah, it was.
I was surprised.
Yeah, it was a good race. So how did you find the 802 Cup Series?
I think it was, like, iRacing League or something like that, and I don't know if it was somebody else, but somebody made a post about it, and I commented on it, asking if, you know, you guys took new drivers.
Yeah.
And somebody had said, yeah, and then dropped the Discord and joined them in here ever since.
Cool. Well, I want to say thanks for joining the Joe Sixpack Racing team, because it's getting kind of lonely racing by myself, because a couple other drivers, they won't be around until the fall season, so... welcome to the team.
And appreciate you having me.
And you are the winner last night of the $5 in iRacing credits, which is a team prize every week to the finishing driver who finishes at the highest position. So you did well. You beat me by 1 spot.
Oh, thank you.
I don't want to pay myself $5, so I'll get your... on our... team Discord there, just drop me your iRacing name and I'll send those credits over to you.
Okay.
So, yeah, so we had a good race, and oh, you didn't get that many wave arounds last night. What happened there?
I did not. I wasn't a lucky dog that much.
What did you have in the first race? Something like 9, and then somebody came up with the idea of making that a prize at the end of the year?
Yeah, I think it was the first race. It was close to 9. I want to be honest. It was close to 9.
Oh, it was so funny. I felt like I was watching that movie Groundhog Day with Bill Murray, where, hell, here we go again. We're just going to drive around in circles, and then every second lap, here comes the 48.
If you ask Kenny, my nickname is Lucky Dog.
There you go. Okay, so... let's jump back to when you first started driving real cars, what was the first car you drove, and what would be your dream car to drive right now?
Oh, gosh. The first car I drove, like, first car I ever owned and drove was a Thion TC, which is like a coupe, Toyota car. Yep. It was nice. I didn't mind it a lot. Mm-hmm. But at the time, my dream car at the time was a Mustang.
Okay. So,
do what?
I said, yeah, okay, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that's all right.
So I ended up trading that in probably about a year or two later and getting a Mustang. But my dream, my actual dream car, is a Skyline GTR, honestly.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, that's my actual dream car.
That's cool. My first car, I'm 61, so I was graduated high school in 1980 and then a couple of years of college. So right around 1979, 1980, when I was 17, 18 years old, the car I came really close to buying was my dream car at that time. It was a 76 Chevy Nova SS. But the mistake I made was bringing Dad along with me to the car dealer to look at it. And he saw the SS, and he saw the gleam in my eyes, and all he's seeing is mag wheels, tires, speeding tickets, and his insurance going up. So ended up not getting that. Settled on a very strange car compared to the Nova. It was a 76 Ford Granada four-door with a blue vinyl roof and vinyl door trim. So it looked like a car your grandfather would drive. And the first day I drove it to school, it was pretty embarrassing. Oh, your parents got a new car. I don't know. It's mine. What are you talking about? But my dream car would be, probably an Aston Martin or more affordable, one of the new Vets. So that's what I would love to drive. Either something really exotic or an American muscle machine like the Vet. Probably go for the Vet.
The new Vets are beautiful.
Oh my gosh, they're incredible. They've really stepped up that design to, you know, like, kind of go after that Ferrari or Lamborghini look or, you know, something like that. They're just gorgeous cars.
They are. They really are. I actually passed one probably about 2-3 months ago, mm-hmm. and I had a double look. I was like, hold on, is that a Corvette?
Hmm. Exactly, because there's Ferraris that kind of look like them with the big long hoods and everything. They're beautiful cars, and I think they're still and they're a lot cheaper than a Ferrari or a Lamborghini or something like that. Even though they are pushing $100,000 for a good one.
Yeah.
So, have you done any real racing? Gotten behind the wheel, whether it be a go kart, a lawnmower, or something similar to that?
No, not really. I've done some street racing when I was younger and got some speeding tickets.
yep.
But besides that, no, I haven't really done any kind of racing as far as go-karts or anything like that.
Did you ever, what was the first track you went to?
First track I went to was Charlotte, for the Coca-Cola 600.
Oh, when was that?
Actually, it was the year, COVID started, when I actually started liking, NASCAR. My brother-in-law, his family owns a factory, so FedEx gives him sweet tickets.
Oh, cool.
To, like, a Panthers game or something like that.
That's awesome.
Normally, like, during the season.
Yeah.
But when COVID hit, some of the people didn't want to go to the Coca-Cola 600. And so she gave him tickets to the Panthers game and then tickets to the Coca-Cola 600.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
It was great.
I was at the Coke 600 the year before. It was 2019. And oh my gosh, it was so hot down there. It was 96, 97 degrees, and we had, pit passes and a Cheap Trick played. They were the concert that day, and it's like the fourth time I've seen Cheap Trick since I was 15 years old, and there I am, standing there right next to these guys, and let me tell you, they played their hearts out in that heat, and they're no spring chickens either. So it was really good. But our seats were inside behind the glass. Wasn't luxury boxes, but it was air conditioned and really nice. And then we're walking around, and there's like free food in the back and free booze. They didn't advertise it; you had to go find it on your own. But that is a absolutely gorgeous racetrack. We had a good time down there.
It is. It really is. And I never realized, honestly, like how big the tracks were.
Yep.
Until I went to an actual NASCAR race.
I remember walking into where our seats were and looking around. I'm going, oh my gosh, this place is gorgeous. So of course we have to go to Hendrick Motorsports when you're there. So we took that tour. But next time I go down, I want to go down to Richard Childress Racing. He's not too far away. He's got a complete museum down there. He's got, because I saw him on RFD TV where they do Great Americans, and there was a show with Richard Childress talking about how he and his brother got into racing by buying a $99 car and going to a dirt track and basically scraping together money and just to make the car run. And he grew up dirt poor. And so look at him now. So, you know, good for him. So I want to go there next time. So did you get to see any sites around, any racing shops when you're down there?
So I actually live probably like maybe 20 minutes from Richard Childress.
Ah, no kidding.
Yeah, so I grew up in Lexington, North Carolina. So I'm literally like right next to Welcome and Midway, where like Austin Dillon and all of them like grew up.
Oh, that's so cool.
Like, I've ran into Richard Childress. I've talked to him multiple times. Like, he's an outstanding guy.
I could tell that just by watching that show on him. He's, you know, well, he remembers his roots. He's not arrogant. And, you know, he's got that, what he's got, he's got a winery now, too, and then a beef company, right?
Yes. Yep.
So he said he's a nice guy. What'd you talk about when you're talk racing, or just, hey, how you doing?
Well, the first time, I think I actually talked to him, I was probably like 17, and I was actually at a restaurant, and me and my buddy was, I think it was like McDonald's or something, and I had asked him if he was in line. He said no, and I ordered my food and went to sit down, and my buddy was like, do you not know who that is? And I was like, no, who is it? And he's like, that's Richard Childress. And I was like, who? And like, he had to Google it. And
that's
because when I was 17, I didn't know nothing about NASCAR because I never watched it.
Right.
And so he pulled it up and showed me. I'm like, dude, I have to get a picture with him at least. And so I walked back up to him and I was like, look, I'm going to be honest. Like, I did not know who you was until my buddy just told me, but I would love to get a picture with you.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, and he took a picture, and he actually came and sat down for a good like 10 minutes and just talked and like,
oh, no kidding,
you know, yeah, dude, it was awesome. Like ever since then, I've always been like a Richard Childress, Austin Dillon fan.
Yep,
like, it was a great time.
That's great. Have you ever gone to his winery?
I've not been to his winery. My sisters have, and they've actually sat next to him and talked to him and like. He's always down there at his winery eating either like lunch or something.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, he just seems like a good down-home boy. So,
definitely is.
Yep. So in all the different types of racing, what's your favorite series, whether it be on iRacing or NASCAR, Xfinity, IMSA, F1, anything like that?
If I'm actually like racing or I'm racing, I would say I love the truck series.
Mm-hmm. They're fun.
I think they're probably my favorite on iRacing. If I'm watching it, of course NASCAR Cup Series, or I love F1. I don't know nobody in F1 or anything like that, but I love watching F1.
We got into it a couple of years ago. My son is a motorsports photographer. He does he photographs for IMSA, NASCAR, New England Motorcycle Road Racing, which we're going up this weekend. That's why I won't be at our race this weekend, because I'm going up doing 4 days of shooting motorcycle races up at Loudoun, New Hampshire Motor Speedway. And he got hooked on F1 for a season. And we started. It's really fascinating to watch. I imagine the whole pageantry before the race is probably, it's like a royalty event when you see how expensive the tickets are. And they talk about the one down in Miami earlier this year where they were showing, a Caesar salad or something like that for one was like $35, and caviar for three was $4.75, and a barbecue beef sandwich was $49. So it's like, it's not cheap to go to those races.
That's insane as far as prices.
Oh, it was crazy. And then they talked to one guy about the price of the food. Oh, by the way, it was Japanese beef. It was Wagyu, you know, highly marbled beef, whatever that means, you know, with all the fat streaks in it and stuff like that. And the guy showed the sandwich, and it was basically a couple little pieces of the beef slapped on what looked like a glorified hot dog roll with mustard or mayonnaise and a napkin, and it was $49 for the sandwich. So the guy that was in charge of the food said, well, we're trying to give everybody an elevated luxury experience, and I think our prices reflect that. I was like, you gotta be kidding.
I would have eight McDonald's than that.
Oh, easily. We were going to go to Montreal last year because a friend in town, he's an Englishman, and he goes to Montreal F1. He says, oh, Greg, we'll meet up there and we'll go out to dinner or something, until I saw the prices of the tickets were like $900 just for the main F1 race. They weren't even the good seats. I says, no, we're going to wait on this. That's a little bit out of our budget.
But I don't blame you. I'd rather definitely watch it on TV than pay that kind of price.
So what do you like about F1?
I think it's just unique to me because of the how fast they are, watching them in the pits.
The pits are amazing.
I can't think of the name of the 24-hour, or was it the 48-hour race they done recently?
I haven't.
You know what I'm talking about, though.
Yeah, I haven't.
I actually watched that, and I mean, just watching it now, granted, we had a NASCAR car in it, which was cool to watch.
Yeah.
But just watching them race at night through the rain, you know, and I mean, I think, to me, NASCAR is great, but with them not racing during the rain, you know, watching F1, them racing during the rain and stuff like that is just, it's unique to watch.
Yeah, it is. And those cars, I mean, they're masterpieces of technology. I think the average cost of a car is $10 million in that league or something like that.
Yeah, I think it's around that.
Yeah, it's something crazy. Oh, so let's take a look at the Richmond race. What was your thoughts last night going into the race? Did you change your strategy at all during the race? And what was your take on how you did?
So strategy wise, I went in just trying to keep the car clean, because my perspective was, I seen how Atlanta went with some of the big cautions.
Yeah.
So I just figured, like, hey, Richmond's going to be either a wreck fest or there's going to be quite a bit of cautions. So just keep the car clean, you know, slowly move up the field and go from there. But during the race, I've noticed that people just started getting spread out and there's not much caution. So I had to adjust during the race to that. So I try to, you know, pit a little bit earlier than some people so I can move up, you know, earlier in the race and try to keep that spot in the later race. But it did not happen like that as far as, I think it was John who ended up winning the race. I mean, he just dominated the whole field, if I'm being honest.
He led 150 of the 170 laps last night.
Whew. So, I mean, he was lapping everybody. So,
yeah, he was. Still with us, sir?
Yep. My bad. Did you hear any of that?
Yeah. Yeah, yes, we did. I just heard a moment of silence there. I didn't know if you had dropped off or not. Yeah, Johnny Barker, it's his third win in a row. Yeah, he led 150 laps. So you finished P10. Were you happy with that?
Yeah, I'm happy with P10. Anything top 10 with me is, I'm happy with it, honestly. I know I was up to fourth at one point, actually behind Kenny, I think, on the restart, mm-hmm. second. And honestly, my tires just, they had newer tires. My tires were old because I was trying to save them. Yep. My last set for the later race. And, you know, that's what cost me, honestly, a lot of the positions, in my opinion. I felt like I had a good car. I felt like I could keep up with a lot of people, but it was just my tire situation. My pit strategy wasn't that great. I mean, 10th position, I'll definitely take a top 10.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the same with me. If I finish in the top 10, to me, that's like winning. And And I was up there until about lap 86 when I went into the pits and was changing my tires and gas strategy that I already had on my button box. And I accidentally, you know, being an admin in the league, there's this little thing called caution, and I hit that button instead. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what did I do? So it certainly wasn't to my advantage because I ended up with a speeding ticket in the pits. So I had to drop to the end after that. Ended up way off the pace because I was had to reprogram my tire change and fuel strategy. And when I came back out, I was like five laps down and just totally, totally ruined my race. Because there's no way in Richmond with like Johnny Barker driving 800 miles an hour on that rocket that you're gonna make that up. So I just kind of coasted around the rest of the night. And when the leaders came up, I got way out of the way. Finished P11, which is okay. You know, not the greatest, but P11 and 10 laps or 12 laps down is, those two numbers don't go good together in my book. So other than that, I had a pretty clean race, only 8 incident points. Any wreck I was in wasn't my fault, but I didn't get out of the way in time to save the point. So other than that stupid pit road incident, I was a pretty good ride for me other than that. So we'll see what happens. So like I said, I won't be here for Watkins Glen. What are your thoughts on Watkins Glen?
Honestly, I haven't even really thought about it. But the strategy that, you know, I've never been, before I talk about strategy, I've never been a fan of Watkins Glen. I've never been good at it as far as on Xbox or, yeah. You know, I have drove it some on iRacing. I have not been good at the track, if I'm being honest.
Yep.
So I think my goal is, honestly, just going into this race is to keep the car clean and just get more laps in around more drivers.
Yeah.
You know, I haven't been in a lot of accidents as far as me causing the wrecks. So mm-hmm. my goal is to not cause any wrecks and just, you know, keep the car clean at the beginning and try to push it towards the end and see what I can get.
Yeah, I love Watkins Glen. I love driving on it. I'm not very good at it. I'm not very good at road anything. But I just love road courses. Because Watkins Glen, it's trickier than it looks. I don't know what it is about it. It just seems like once you come out of the carousel, that's where all the incidents happen. Coming around turn 10, where there's that wide drive-off area right through the gravel. And then the final turn, and then a lot of times in early in the race, it's turn one that can cause problems. So everything else, I kind of do okay on it. Sometimes the chicane is a pain in the butt. The carousel's good, but that backstretch, the final backstretch coming into turn 10, and then the final turn can be, you know, can really ruin your time too because it's a sharp turn, and then you get that scramble all the way down to the end of the front stretch before you get to the finish line. So, like I said, I won't be there this week, but hopefully you and George get on the team channel there and Make Joe Sixpack Racing Team proud, and both of you finish in the top 10.
I mean, I hope that's the goal. I think, honestly, if I'm being honest, I think George has always been better at like Watkins Glen or like road courses than me.
Okay.
So I expect him to be, at least if he gets practice in this week, which I think he will.
Yeah.
I think he should be a top 10 car.
Good. Usually they throw a practice up on Tuesday nights, and then Friday night, they do a full length practice race. And I think last week, this past Friday night, there was a pretty good turnout for that. Usually it's, you're lucky if you get 7 or 8 cars, but I think they had a few more than that. So, and like I said, practice makes all the difference. Atlanta, my attitude for Atlanta was I'm just going to ride in the back and let everybody else make their mistakes, and I'll take advantage of them if I can. But once I got into the race, I'm like, wow, I'm actually got some confidence because I practiced for probably 3 hours that week, which I normally don't do. And I was actually able to pass cars, and I was like, wow, this is cool. And I think I finished in 7th that race. So that to me was like a double victory. When I finish in, you know, especially.
Yeah. I mean, definitely. Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong. Practice definitely helps, you know, I mean, that's with anything.
Mm-hmm. And it's a time commitment because, you know, you're out there working, you got families, and you're already tying up a Sunday night, and, you know, got to do what you got to do. But like I said, it always helps if you can just get a little bit of practice in it at some point. But if you can't, you can't, and just hope you do well in the race. So any other thing you want to talk about tonight on racing?
Sorry. Honestly, I mean, no, I think that's about it.
Okay.
You know, I appreciate you having me on the podcast, and appreciate you having me on the team and allowing me to run with you guys.
No, it was good. We it seemed like we had some good conversations last night talking strategy and stuff, and everybody seemed to, you know, race well together.
Yep, I agree. I think, I think moving forward in the upcoming races and next season, I think we can definitely be a team to be reckoned with, maybe.
Good. Maybe we'll take a bite out of the wolf pack.
Maybe.
Yeah, good luck with that. All right, Dylan Dameron, driver car 48 for Joe Sixpack Racing Team in the 802 Cup Series. Thanks for stopping in tonight. And I know you enjoyed your vacation. It certainly sounded like it there. So thanks for running with us, and good luck this weekend. And we'll see you on the track.
I appreciate you having me. Have a good night.
Have a good night, boss. Bye-bye. Dylan Dameron, car 48 driver, Joe Sixpack Racing Team in the 802 Cup Series, who finished in P10 last night at Richmond, a very tough track. And I would have done much better if I didn't make the stupid mistake of accidentally throwing a caution. And it certainly put me at the end of the race. We're going to take a look at speaking of Richmond, we're going to take a look at the Richmond results coming up. But first of all, I'd like to thank Riptide Radio, which is Carolina Shag Music down there in Myrtle Beach, for being the season sponsor this year, courtesy of Jeff Barefoot, driver of Car 9. He was a guest one night on the podcast, and we were talking about what Carolina Shag is. It's not a individual musical genre. It's jazz. It's hip-hop. It is Motown. Swing. It's a lifestyle. It's completely different than yacht rock. I think it's a lot more legitimate and real than yacht rock. And like Jeff says, he goes, it's definitely a lifestyle. So Riptide Radio, the season sponsor for the 802 Cup Series summer season. It's a kind of a laid-back season. There's no prize money, no high pressure, because basically a lot of people are on vacation. I'm going to be missing at least 2 races this weekend coming up. I'll be at the Northeast Motorcycle Road Racing with my son Sam Dreis from Sam Dreis Media. We'll be photographing all the races and downloading all the stuff and loading them on the computer and doing the editing. And went up there with him last month, and I thought it was going to be 3 days of vacation. Ended up being 3 days of 14-hour days at getting the track at 6 or 7 in the morning and not leaving until 10 or 11 at night. But at least we'll be camping in the infield this weekend. So if you want to join the 802 Cup Series, you can look us up on iRacing Leagues. Knock on that door where that little button says, hey, let me in. which is requesting an invite. We'll look you up. We'll hook you up with our Discord, bring you in the league, and it's a long recruiting season. We're going until the middle of fall. So season three is kind of unique, laid-back season, recruiting all year, all season long, and we'll be really ranking up that recruiting come September. Also, Dirtbag Clothing, the sponsor for the Joe Sixpack Racing Team and the Sim Racing Podcast, which is a producer that's of the 802 Cup Series podcast, which we do usually every Monday night, 8 p.m. live on Twitch. And then the audio is uploaded later on to Spotify, YouTube, and all the major podcast platforms. We're going to take a look at the Richmond results from last night at Richmond Raceway. And I want to thank Jason from Signature Esports. He's our broadcaster for the season. He and our league go way back to several different incarnations of this league. And so he knows how we race. We know how he broadcasts, and it's been a good fit. So we welcome Jason back from Signature Esports. And he's broadcasting on three different platforms. You can catch him on Facebook, YouTube, and the other one escapes me, but definitely sign up, subscribe, and you'll see some good racing and even better announcing. So the results last night, the average lap time last night was 29.107 seconds. And that includes cautions. I wish it didn't. So it'd be nice to see during green lap runs what the average lap time is. We completed 170 laps last night. No extra green, white checkers. There were 8 cautions, 38 laps under caution, which is a little less than, quite a bit less than 25% of the race. So that was actually pretty good. 5 lead changes, and strength of field last night was 1172. I think that's down from Atlanta, where strength of field was 1300. So we'll take a look at the top finishers last night. Johnny Barker did a three-peat last night. He just ran away with it. We all should have just parked our cars in the pits, jumped on the pit boxes, and took part in his clinic. He led 150 laps last night. And his fastest lap was 29.107. And I was practicing with him earlier in the week, and everybody's having a hard time. And I was watching him in practice last night pre-race, and there's number 6 at the lead lap, number 6 at the lead lap, and I'm like, we're in trouble after that. Second place, Brandon Garand in car 4. He qualified 3rd, finished 2nd. He led 6 laps last night. Fastest lap was 29.111. Third place driver of car number 21, Rob Lowell, qualified 2nd, finished 3rd. He led 9 laps, and his fastest lap was 29.114. Connor Barker, Johnny Jr., driving car number 27. He qualified 4th, finished 4th, and his fastest lap last night was 29.135, did not lead any laps. Jeff Barefoot was next. He finished driver of car 9, qualified 5th, fastest lap of 29.164. Dwayne McMahon, car number 80, qualified 13th, fastest lap 29.167. Followed by Kenny Reel in the car number 24, Jason Wiley in car number 13. Arabia Clayton, driver of car number 30, new driver with us, and he finished P9. And then Joe Sixpack Racing, we finished 11th or 10th and 11th last night. Dennis Dameron, Dylan Dameron, driver of car number 48. He qualified 8th, finished 10th, fastest lap 29.523. And yours truly in P11, car number 64, qualified 9th, finished 11th. I don't want to tell you how many laps down I won. It was double digits. Go ahead to week 4 in points. We use ARCA scoring for points, which gives you 1 point for pole, 1 point for leading a lap, a couple extra points for winning. And, of course, Johnny Barker, if he has a good weekend at Watkins Glen, will probably start running away with it. He's in P1 with points with 145. He's got 3 victories. Rob Lowell is in second place with 131 points. He's won 1 race. Dave LaMaga in 3rd, 124 points. Nobody else has won any races besides Johnny and Rob. 4th place is Kenny Reel with 121. Brandon Garand is in 5th position with 119 points. Jason Wiley is in sixth with 117. Jeff Barefoot, seventh place, 114 points. Cole Jarrett in eighth place with 111. Yours truly, still hanging on after that terrible performance last night at ninth place with 107 points. And Dwayne McMahon in 10th, right behind me with 106. Dustin Coggin in 11th with 102. And Nick Larson is in position 12 with 100 points. 802 Cup Series Summer League Season 3, sponsored by Riptide Radio. Carolina Shag at its best. Tune in and listen. You won't turn it off. It's like being at the beach. And rounding out the points battle, Dennis Dameron in P13 with 97. David Palmer, 6, and P14 with 91 points. Justin Mullins, 2, is in 15th with 89. Frank Zingian in 16th with 74 points. Arabia Clayton, 3, is 17th with 67 points. Ty Tafford, P18 with 65 points. Eli Raposa is in 19th with 58 points. He's tied, actually, with our teammate George Bolas for 19th with 58 points. And 20th is Kyle Hackett with 55, 21, Chris Max with 49, and Connor Barker, first race last night, P23 with 40 points. You heard Dylan and I talking a little earlier about teamwork and the advantages of driving with a team, even if it's just one other person, are enormous compared to driving on the track by yourself, because your team can watch out for each other. Especially like on our team, will be somebody will be up front, somebody in the back, and just watching for who's driving well, pointing out the wrecks, letting everybody know when the front drivers go on a restart. So if you want to join a team or you need team members, we have a couple ways to do that. We have the 802 general chat channel. We have the 802 Cup Series team channel on Discord. So hang your banner out there that you're looking to form a team or you want to start a team. Or if you're on a team already and you need members, shout it out so you can all get together and gel as a team and get used to each other. So when we go to the fall season, you're driving better with a team. So check us out on the Teams channel or in general chat. Dirtbag Clothing is a sponsor of the Joe Sixpack Racing Team. And love their motto, wear it till it stinks. And the 802 Cup Series season sponsor for season 3 is Riptide Radio. Coming up this week, we'll be going to my favorite place, Watkins Glen. I know a lot of drivers love Watkins Glen. They just don't like driving on it. So it's a legendary course, kind of like Lime Rock down in my neighborhood here. And this week's race will be Sunday, August 5th at 6:45 p.m. Practice opens. Qualifying at about 7:10, and the green flag will drop at about 7:15. Just remember, there are no comp cautions or no iRacing cautions this weekend. So once that green flag goes, it's go until the end. So if you're driving around, going up to, coming around any of the turns, the chicanes, or going through the S's, and you see a little yellow flag start blinking on your screen, it is not a course-wide caution. It's just letting you know that somebody has crashed. There's a car stopped, a car off. So just keep your eye open. And once you pass that, caution will disappear. And a lot of times when you get to that area, the car will already be gone. They'll already, you know, push that button to go back to pits, etc. So once again, no comp caution this week. No iRacing cautions, local cautions only. And that's just to let you know that something's not right up ahead. Practice length, 25 minutes. Qualifying laps are 2 laps, 5-minute time. And race laps, 55. No start zone, fast repairs. 2 fast repairs, unlimited incidents. And the setup for the race, for the cars, fuel capacity will be at 60%. Tire changes, 2. So you got the tires that are on the car when you start, then there's going to be 2 in your pit box for a total of 3. If you want to practice before any official practices this week, the qualifying and racing setups for the car, if you want to go online on your own, the setup is watkinsglen.sto, watkinsglen.sto under car setup for both qualifying and the race setup. It's an afternoon start at 2:48 p.m., 78 degrees, 55% humidity, and wind out of the north at 2 miles per hour. So that's Watkins Glen this weekend. Sunday, August 5th, 6:45 Eastern Time. 25 minutes of practice, 2 qualifying laps, and then 55-minute race we broadcast live on SETV. Signature Esports with Jason, so looking forward to that. I want to thank everybody for tuning in and listening this week. And again, you can catch the audio on Spotify, Anchor. Used to be on Stitcher, but Stitcher, from what I understand, is shutting down pretty soon. Google Podcast, Amazon Podcast, and many, many others. Thank you, Dylan Dameron. He's the driver of Car 48. And if you're watching now, we had the SpongeBob paint scheme on his car Sunday. We do some pretty cool specialty theme races. Last night was Toontown, and we started that many, many seasons ago, actually two other leagues ago. And the drivers love it. And basically, your paint scheme can be your favorite cartoon, whether it be a cereal box, a comic book, a movie, or anything like that. So he did SpongeBob, and just as a joke, I was driving around Car 64 with Teletubbies last night, hoping people would stay away from me, and pretty much they did. I don't blame them. This has been the 802 Cup Series League podcast, which you can pick up every Monday night at 8 o'clock live on Twitch, twitch.tv/GregDreiss, and then later on Spotify, Apple, and Amazon. This is a production of the Sim Racing Podcast and Joe Sixpack Racing. Thanks for watching, and until then, we will see you on the track.